Hi, everyone. I'm Tara Lawn. Welcome to Time Out with Tinseltown Mom. I'm here today with job search and resume expert, Mir Garvey. Mir is a certified professional resume writer who helps job seekers around the country. Today, we're going to talk about best practices for helping your young adult secure a job. Hi, Mir. Welcome.
Hey, Tara Lawn. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for being here today. I know this conversation is going to help a lot of parents out there and also job seekers. So thank you for your time.
Of course.
Can you first start off by just giving us a little bit more insight into who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So I help job seekers find meaningful work by providing world-class career documents. And what that means is that my team of four and I write resumes. We do LinkedIn makeovers and cover letters for professionals in all industries and at all levels. So from recent graduates all the way up to seasoned executives. Back in 2020, we had all that downtime because of the pandemic. We launched a sister company, actually, specifically geared for 20-somethings, new graduates and young professionals. And it's called GetResumeHelp.com. And that's just for kind of a younger audience. And part of what we offer at that website would be help applying to grad school. So it's for recent grads entering the workforce or applying to graduate school. We also offer career coaching, interview coaching, and job search support.
Okay. Is there a minimum age that you offer your services?
No, we typically, when we work with someone who is maybe a junior or senior in college, that's often someone who comes to us through their mom or dad. And then we will usually work with the young student and the parent back and forth by email. Most of the time, mom or dad wants to be CC'd on the communication. But sometimes we have parents who will say, my kid can handle it from here. You guys take it away and I'll look at the final product.
Right. Okay. All right. Sounds great. So today we're talking about best practices to help a young person secure a job. So there may be some parents listening who have a high schooler at home and they're thinking, you know, I want my high schooler to start working. Like, what are your thoughts on high schoolers working?
Well, I'm a fan. I have a 19-year-old. He's actually in college now, but he did work at Dairy Queen and Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
During college, during high school. But I think so, you know, that job like Chipotle or The Gap, that's great experience. It is good for teens and college students to learn how to juggle work and school. They're going to learn skills like time management, how to prioritize their responsibilities and tasks, the personal organization and managing their schedule, but also, you know, in a job like that, teamwork and customer service. But, you know, even jobs like babysitting or mowing grass can help people develop those same muscles and maybe even a bit of an entrepreneurial spark.
Yeah, it's likely to be good for communication too, just even before they get into college, speaking with their professors and just handling their own schedule.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's say there's some parents listening or even a job seeker listening. They're a young adult and they've never had a job before, but they want to begin their job search. Do you have a best practice as far as where they should start? Like, is the resume the first thing they start at? Like, what are your thoughts there?
The first place to start is by actually looking at job ads that are a good fit, or just looking at job ads to determine what kinds of roles might be a good fit. It's possible that, let's say, a college student who has a particular major, they might be able to get a foot in the door doing a job within their major. So if they're, let's say, a hospitality management major, maybe they could work at the front desk of a hotel. Or if they're a healthcare administration major, maybe they can get a desk job at a doctor's office. So that can be useful. A lot of colleges also have tons of, or most colleges have tons of part and full-time opportunities on campus for students. So maybe it's not in their major, but they could work in the library or in the cafeteria, or again, at the desk of different academic departments. But the first task really is to identify the kind of role that the student wants to apply for, or roles. Maybe there are a couple different kinds. That's when you sit down to actually write the resume. So you'll want to play up the most relevant and transferable skills for that particular kind of role.
All right, perfect. Now, let's say someone's listening and they're thinking, I have no job experience. I don't have anything to write on my resume. Like, what are some ideas, like creative ways they can get a resume started with no job experience?
Well, the good news is they're going to be up against other young adults who look pretty much the same on paper, right? So that can take a little bit of the pressure off. They'll want to include any kind of extracurricular or volunteer work that they've done, any kind of self-paced learning or courses they've taken online outside of their regular classes. And then if their GPA is impressive, they can include that. The other thing to include is maybe areas of interest or personal strengths. These are things that we wouldn't necessarily put on the resume of someone once they're 25 and they've had, you know, an internship and a first role. Those would go away. But when someone's just starting out, part of what the hiring manager is looking for is an interesting person who is reliable and focused and enthusiastic and a quick study. They pick things up quickly. Of course, most young people are going to be pretty proficient in technology, but it would be good to include that kind of content on the resume. And so many high school programs now offer, as part of the high school diploma program, the opportunity to get certifications in, for instance, Microsoft Word. So those are things that perhaps they can add, would be not only technology expertise, but actually certifications that they may have been able to obtain. LinkedIn Learning would be another place to go take sort of self-paced learning and show a list of courses that the person has completed. So those are all kind of things that you could add to the resume to fluff it up a little bit.
Oh, those are great ideas. Now, are there any things that you recommend not putting on a resume that you think would hinder the job search?
No, I think for this demographic, everything I just suggested is fine. A lot of that for a 25-year-old, we would not put on the resume. So, you know, with the caveat that the resume we're writing now is not the template to be followed later, I think any of those things are fine.
Okay. Now, let's say someone's just starting off and they don't even know where to begin with the formatting of a resume. Like, is there a website they should go to, or is it just something they should just Google, you know, just to get the best tips on writing a resume? Do you have any thoughts there?
Well, they can work. They can work.
You're the expert now.
I mean, the main thing with, yes, there are tons of free templates that are out there. I think a lot of young people are really attracted to the highly graphic resumes, and, you know, they're out there like on canva.com, for instance. But the warning that I would share with those very graphic resumes is that they can be quite problematic for applicant tracking systems. So an applicant tracking system, or an ATS, is basically software that intakes and parses and dumps into a database the content of a resume. And even, you know, directors of marketing have to go through this exact same process. So it's not unique to young students or young adults. But if the resume's content is not keyword optimized for the kind of role they're applying for, and or if the template is not compliant or ATS friendly, and a lot of those graphic templates are not, then the resume won't even make it into the database and it will never be seen by a human being. So I know that it's very tempting to want to have a very visually exciting resume, but I would caution young people to choose something a little more traditional and safe. You know, it should be in Microsoft Word, then saved as a PDF, or Google Docs saved as a PDF, and not something that they create in, you know, Adobe Illustrator or Adobe Photoshop or on a website like Canva.
Oh, that's actually really good advice. There may be someone listening that they didn't even realize that and they need to change, you know, take the graphics off.
Let me say one more thing. The graphic itself is not a problem. So if, let's say someone designs a resume in Microsoft Word, and then they want to have maybe a colored bar or some graphic elements, that's fine. What you want is you don't want any of your important content to be embedded in an image, because then it won't be seen at all. So some graphics are okay, but nothing important to the content of your resume should be in a graphic, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Okay. So the general school of thought is to, for the person seeking a job, is try to figure out the type of job maybe they're wanting and maybe craft their resume accordingly. So whether they're looking for a job at a student bookstore or even just part-time in a retail shop, they should try to figure that out first and then kind of coordinate or customize the resume accordingly and just like highlight the skills that might be appropriate for that job. Is that the general school of thought there?
Yeah, exactly. And primarily the area where they'll do that is the little 2-4 sentence summary at the top of the resume. So the resume will start at the top with the name, contact information, and then there'll be this short positioning statement. That would be where they could highlight, for instance, that they love to read books and maybe they read 100 books during their senior year or something. If they're applying to a bookstore, they might swap out or customize that section. Everything else for a young student or college senior is probably going to be the same, because they really only have a minimum of information to include.
Right. Okay. Now, what about social media? Now, what are your thoughts on the young person having a social media presence? Is that going to just be very helpful, or does it matter?
I think it's a good idea to go ahead and get on LinkedIn earlier, you know, sooner rather than later, and connect with your classmates. So whether that's in high school or later in college, it's great to connect with your classmates and then stay in touch with them professionally through LinkedIn as they kind of go their separate ways, because now you have inside connections at all kinds of companies. So LinkedIn is sort of the gold standard for professional social media networking. And we do recommend LinkedIn for all of our clients. We know that 94% of the time, recruiters and hiring managers will look you up on LinkedIn at some point during the job search process. I think that's a little more true for older workers, but again, why not go ahead and create that professional profile sooner rather than later and begin to build your network over time?
Okay. So if they just have a LinkedIn profile, but maybe they're not on Facebook or Instagram, et cetera, they'd be okay just having that one social media presence.
Right. Now, they probably do have Instagram or other social presence. And for those accounts, the guidance that I would give is to review them carefully and conservatively and make sure that there's nothing there that would reflect poorly on them during the interviewing and job offer process. They can set their profiles completely to private, or they can go through and clean them up.
Right.
But we know that, you know, part of the, and again, this is a little more true for a little older person, but it's good for kids to start thinking in this way. When you, or just before you're given a job offer, or maybe just after, hiring managers will run a background check. They'll run a credit check. They'll review all your social profiles, and they're really looking for any red flags or reasons to not extend or withdraw the offer.
Right. Right. That's good that you say that's very important. So as far as a young person looking for work, let's say they are in college and they want a part-time job, and you may not be able to answer this question, but you can just give your expert opinion anyway. Do you have a recommendation on maybe how many hours they should be looking at for a part-time job while they're still in school?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overarching advice I would have is that, you know, it's something that will be unique to each person, and that young adult may want to work with their family to figure that out. there may be some trial and error or even adjusting from one semester to the next based on course load. But there is research that shows that students who work 10 to 15 hours a week are more likely to succeed in college than those who don't work at all. And I think the thinking there is that college students who have a lot of competing priorities to juggle just have to learn how to be more efficient and focused when it's time to sit down and do their schoolwork.
Right. Okay. So let's say they have a great resume, the job seeker, and they are ready to just show this resume off. Do you have any recommendations as far as what websites they should start at when they're looking for their job?
Well, LinkedIn, this is another advantage to creating a profile and an account on LinkedIn. The LinkedIn job board is very good. The other industry leader is Indeed.com. And that's a little bit different. And the third leader is Glassdoor.com. So the difference between those three is Glassdoor is sort of, if you will, Yelp for job seekers. So you can look at job ads, you can search and sort for job ads, but you can also do some research on companies, and companies will have ratings based on what the employees of those companies have said about them. So reviews from employees. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than Indeed in that Indeed is really a tool for hiring managers and recruiters. It is more to make their job easier. That said, it's a great place for job seekers to go and look for jobs, but it's really less for the employee or job seeker and more for the as a tool for the hiring managers. And then LinkedIn obviously has a job board, but it's so much more than that. It's a news feed, it's a networking tool, it has a whole suite of continuing education courses, all kinds of opportunities to join groups by industry or function, project management or HR or sales. So there's so much more at LinkedIn than just the job board, but those are the three industry leaders and kind of a little breakdown of how they're similar and different.
Right. Okay. Now, I used to be a recruiter some years ago, and I always loved when job seekers reached out to me personally on LinkedIn, you know, trying to secure a job. Like, what are your thoughts there as opposed to just going the standard route? Like, do you think that's out of bounds today, or do you have any feelings one way or another?
I love that. And I think your experience, I've heard from so many recruiters exactly that. Anything you can do, especially in this heavily computerized job search market that we live and operate in now, anything you can do to differentiate yourself and stand out is definitely a bonus. So many times our clients will apply through proper channels, meaning, you know, through the company's portal or by uploading the resume to the jobs page or applying to careers at companyname.com and attaching the resume, you know, however the company wants you to apply, then just as you said, doing the research to find out who is the hiring manager and messaging them on LinkedIn. You know, you can send a connect request. You don't have to upgrade to premium to be able to send in mail. You can send a connect request and customize your message to say exactly that. Please let me introduce myself. My name is so-and-so. I just applied through the portal today for the XYZ job opening. And, you know, if there are any questions I can answer for you or anything like that, I'd love to connect. Another way you can use LinkedIn in a situation like that is, let's say that you want to apply to a company and you go to their company LinkedIn page and you click on the people tab, then you will be able to see all of the employees who have added to their profile that they work there. You can look and you can sort by connection level. So you could see if you have any first degree connections that work there. And you can also see if you have any second degree connections who work there. And you can see who your shared connection is with that person. So it's kind of a good strategy to see if you know someone or if you know someone that knows someone that works at one of your target companies and ask for an introduction, ask for an informational interview. Just see if you can make some inroads that way. Let people know that you've applied, and people are usually pretty willing to help. You know, they, if you ask nicely and you don't ask for a lot of their time, and you're not really asking them to pass your resume along or, you know, lobby for you, but you may say something like, I see that you're such and such at this company. I just applied for an entry-level position in your department. And if you have 5 minutes to have a quick phone call, I'd love to ask you some questions about what it's like to work there. That kind of initiative is usually rewarded.
Yeah. Yeah. I love seeing that kind of initiative, especially for a young person who hasn't even had a job, or maybe they haven't had a lot of experience. I think that's great initiative to actually do that, reach out personally. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's say there's a great resume. The young person has a great resume. They've actually secured a job interview. So how should they prepare for this job interview? Are there some first steps they should be thinking about?
Well, I think the classic advice of be on time and early, drive by first, make sure you know how to get there, dress nicely, sit up straight, watch the body language. That's all still true. It's likely that a first interview might be done virtually. And so there's a little bit of a different set of advice there. Primarily, you'll want to make sure your lighting is right, your background's not distracting, at least your top is nice. And and if you're wearing, you know, pajamas, don't stand up. the main thing with the visual, with the virtual interview, is looking at the webcam, looking at the little dot at the top of the screen and not at the person's face on the screen. Because you want your interviewer to get the sense that you're making eye contact with them. That takes some practice, but you can open a Zoom window and record yourself and practice speaking to the camera and watch it back. You might even get someone, a parent or someone like that, friend, to ask you some questions and you speak to the camera, and then you can kind of watch your responses back.
Oh, that's that. I never even thought about that. So looking at the webcam, it allows you to actually appear that you're looking at them directly in the eye. Is that what that logic is? Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay. So let's say that they're on this interview. Are there some general questions you think job or employers might ask, like some questions that maybe the job seeker should already be thinking about before they even land the interview or actually go on the interview?
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of the old classics, tell me about yourself. I mean, I think that one, we should all be ready to give a 2 or 3 sentence, really positive and upbeat answer to that question. It's going to come up at some point. The questions like, what's your greatest strength? What's your greatest weakness? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Those could be asked of an entry level graduate, recent grad. But how about, why do you want to work here? Or do you work well with a team? Or why should we hire you? Those very direct questions can sometimes get people tripped up. So having kind of a ready answer for why you want to work for that particular company, or why should they hire you in particular? Those would be good questions to kind of have practiced a little bit. Other questions that might be geared more closely for college students or even high school students might be questions like, what are you learning in school that will help you with this position? And even if that question isn't asked, perhaps the student could kind of have a ready answer, and that might be a great answer to a different question that's asked. Or tell me about a problem that you recently had and how you solved it. Hiring managers, when they're meeting young people, are looking for potential. And those kind of questions kind of get at that kind of information.
Yeah, that's great. So what about as far as the young person having their own questions prepared? Do you have any suggestions on the types of questions they should be thinking to ask before they go on the interview?
Yeah, I think it's always good to go ahead and have 3 questions prepared every time you go into an interview. And they can be the same 3, or they can be unique to that employer in regard to their product or service. But I like to tell, and this is good advice for young people because they're so used to taking notes on their phone, but I like to tell our younger students and recent grads to bring a pad of paper and a pen so that they can take notes while they talk to the interviewer without coming across as unplugged and totally into their phone. But on that pad of paper, they can write down their questions. So three good ones, just general, might be, is there anything about my skills that you'd like me to clarify? Or this would be a good one for someone who's just starting out. What type of training or mentorship does your company offer? And then another one that shows, and I think this rings true with a lot of young workers, but it also shows a little bit about your priorities and reflects positively on you. But you could ask something like, how does this company give back to the community, to the environment? You know, what are the causes that you support? So those are some good questions. And again, there might be a couple of custom ones, but I think it's always good to have three prepared before you get to the interview.
Okay, great. And then at the end of the interview, when things are, it seems like they're going well, how should the student or young person in the interview, should they be bold and say, you know, I really want this job? I know there's different thoughts, different opinions as far as ending the interview.
Well, again, with young people who are just starting out, part of what the interviewer wants to see is eagerness. So I think it is appropriate to go ahead and say how excited you are for the opportunity and maybe list one or two specific reasons why. And then you can ask a question like, do you know when you will be making a decision, or when might I expect to hear back from you? And those would be perfectly fine. Because you've taken notes on your notepad, when you go back to your house and it's time to write a thank you email, which you should absolutely do, you can reference your notes. And again, list two or three specific things that you discussed in the interview with that hiring manager, just to jog their memory and show them that you were listening.
Oh, excellent. Is there anything else that you think that the job seekers need to know about? I think this was excellent, all the information that you gave.
Thanks. I would just reiterate, you know, in the interview, that make sure that they know you're paying attention. I think the note taking helps with that, that you're eager, that you're enthusiastic, that you've done some research on their company. You know, you're familiar with their product, their service, their customer, and that you are that you have drive and ambition. I think you show that you're reliable by being there timely, because again, so many young people are going to look the same on paper. They're going to have the same entry-level jobs in retail or restaurant work. They're going to have the same kind of extracurriculars and the same degree even, but really setting yourself apart in those kind of soft skills, that's what can give you an edge in the interview.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Mir. Now, where can people find you if they want to know more about you and the services that you provide?
I would definitely send them to getresumehelp.com.
Thanks for listening to Time Out with Tinseltown Mom. If you liked what you heard today, please be so kind and rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Because when you do that, you get this podcast in front of more listeners. And I want to offer more encouragement to a wider audience. So any positive reviews that you can give would be so helpful. Until next time.